Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have reached the penultimate story in my present collection of Tales of Terror. In many of the previous stories, sound itself has featured strongly as a means of creating fear. The telephone, the distant drum, the air horn on an unseen long-distance truck, remember them? Why do certain sounds disturb us so much? Sometimes it's all too obvious, a scream, for example. But there are sounds which disturb us for no apparent reason, the cause of the fear locked deep in the subconscious. This week, sound features once more as a transmitter of terror. And on this occasion it's a sound we all know only too well, the simple everyday sound of a child crying.
I lived upstairs, in the flat above his. He hadn't been there long. He was about 40. 41, I remember now. They put his age in the paper the way they always do. Guy Gooding, 41, unemployed, found last night. He wouldn't have liked that, unemployed. I'd hardly met him. Passed him on the stairs once or twice with a nod, though he rarely went out, or so he told me that night. And I can quite believe it. He was that kind of man. Description? Oh, the sort of man you don't notice. Medium height, clean-shaven, you know. Except for his eyes. They were odd. I can't explain. When they fastened on you, they made you uneasy, sorry for him, but at the same time wanting him to be somewhere else. Well, anyway, that evening my friend Paul was out with a potential client. I'd knocked up something to eat for myself. Paul's I left in the oven and was listening to some music.
I wonder if you could help me.
Yes, of course. Anything I can do. Would you care to come in?
Thank you. Very kind.
I'll just put down the music a little. Would you like a drink? Whiskey?
Thank you.
Oh, do sit down. Soda? Ice?
Neat, please.
Right. I hope I wasn't disturbing you.
Hmm?
The music. It was rather loud.
Oh, no. Music doesn't worry me.
Sorry, it's Guy...
Gooding, from downstairs.
Yes, I can never remember names. How are you doing down there? Settled in all right?
This is a nice flat, very nice.
Well, same as yours, I suppose. I mean the layout.
Yes, I suppose it must be. What a difference, oh, mine's a mess.
Well, you haven't been there that long, have you?
It's nothing to do with that. Things don't fit properly.
Sorry?
Wherever I put something, it looks wrong. Table, pictures. I try, but it's no good.
Here you are.
Oh, thank you.
Cheers.
Cheers. Yes. Yes, very nice, very tasteful. Nice furniture, pictures, everything in its right place. Special talent, I suppose. Which I haven't got.
Well, actually, I have to confess, I have an unfair advantage. Paul's an interior designer.
Ah, your, flatmate. Mm. He's good.
Yes, he is.
Easy to live with?
Yes. I'll just switch off the music. Look, how can I help you?
I'm a writer. You know, I write.
Oh, yes, I heard.
How did you hear?
Oh, the block has its jungle drums. Old Mrs. Finch must have buttonholed you on the stairs sometime. She passes everything on in her garbled fashion.
Oh, her, yes. Gossip. I hate that kind of thing. I like to keep myself to myself.
Well, she means well. You write full-time, do you?
I suppose you could say that. I don't earn a living from it, if that's what you mean. Is that what you mean?
No, I just want to...
I have a little money, private money.
I see, yes. That's a lonely business.
Hmm?
I imagine writing is a lonely business.
Yes. I'm on my own, you see, except for... And, being new in the area, I don't know anyone, and I don't go out much. Not that it bothers me. You have to be self-sufficient. People can clutter you up, you know, clutter up your life.
Yes, I'm sure. So, what can I do for you?
Oh, just a simple question. Is there a child living in the block, a small child?
No, Not that I know of.
I thought not. I had to ask. So you don't hear anything up here? A child's voice? A child crying?
No. If there were one, I'm sure we'd hear it. These flats are not noted for their soundproofing. Cheap post-war materials, I suppose. I dare say you hear us bumping about up here. I'm only surprised we don't hear your typewriter.
I use a word processor.
Ah.
So you don't hear the crying? Of course you don't. It was stupid of me, but I just had to make sure. I'm sorry, I won't bother you anymore. I'll leave you to your music and your nice flat.
No, please, finish your drink.
No, I shouldn't have come up. It was stupid. There's nothing you can do, even if you wanted to, and why should you want to?
Well, what exactly is the trouble?
The child is the trouble. The one who cries. All the time. Look, I will, if you don't mind, sit here for a few minutes. Just for a minute.
Are you saying you're... well, hearing things in your flat?
Hearing things, yes. It's an odd expression, that. You must be hearing things. What you mean is, you must be hearing things that aren't there. In other words, you're not hearing anything at all, only imagining you are. So it can all be written off. Well, imagination or not, it's getting into my sleep now. And I don't know what to do about it. It stops when I'm working, but there's...
Sorry?
But there's a limit to how long you can work for. You have to get some sleep, and now it's got there into my sleep as well. I dream it, you see, until it wakes me up, only then it's still there.
Are you hearing it now, a child
yes.
crying?
She's realised I've gone. She's downstairs waiting for me. She missed me. So you would have heard her, you see, if it wasn't just me hearing things. There's no point bothering you with it. I knew it was private to me. I just had to make sure. You can put me down to some kind of crackpot, some kind of nut.
Here, drink this.
Thanks.
Have you told anyone else about this?
You think I need to see a psychiatrist?
Well, surely, if, as you say, you're hearing this imaginary noise...
I didn't say imaginary.
Sorry?
I said private to me.
Do you mean you think it's actually real? Well, leaving that aside, if you're having trouble with voices in your head, which, after all, we can't hear, surely it would be a good idea to see someone about it.
I have.
A psychiatrist.
I got the doctor to put me onto someone after I convinced him his damned pills weren't doing any good.
And?
He put me onto a woman who specialises in such things. Noises in the head. She said it's not uncommon, not that uncommon. Voices, music very often.
Did you get music?
No. Just the child. Well, I get your music sometimes, but that's real, isn't it?
Well, I'm sorry. I hope it doesn't...
She said it usually goes back to childhood, some traumatic experience, maybe. She tried to get me to relate it back to something I remembered from when I was small. But, of course, I couldn't find anything. There wasn't anything. I was an only child, you see, and I had a very happy childhood. I never cried. Not after my father left, anyway. And I was very young.
Well, so it can't have been all happy, not having a father around.
I'm telling you, it was! Not when he was there. Afterwards, he was a brute, you see. We both hated him. We were glad to see the back of him. We certainly didn't miss him. Oh, no. If he was a trauma, his going cured it. We lived very happily together after he went. I have nothing but good memories. I took his place. We didn't need him.
Yes. Yes, I see. So the psychiatrist didn't help?
Oh, she said not to worry. The treatment might take a little time. I arranged to see her once a week. I fully intended to, till I got back to the flat. Are you sure I'm not disturbing
you?
No, you must have things you're wanting to... No, look, don't be afraid to say. I can't bear people pretending they're interested when they just want to get rid of you.
No, really.
Look, I want to show you something. Can I? Downstairs. It won't take a minute.
It was a dreadfully dull flat. No character, nothing worth looking at. It seemed smaller than ours, but spotlessly clean, nothing out of place.
This way. Sorry about the mess. This is where I work. There's the word processor. I bought it when I moved here. I had no trouble before. Not that I'm blaming it. After all, they're only machines, aren't they? Chips and whatever, circuitry... Very quiet things, not like the old typewriter. You'll never hear this upstairs. It all goes on quietly. Inside. Not that I understand it. No, it was fine, till she started putting messages on it.
I beg your pardon?
It was the day I went to see the therapist. I'd been kept awake the previous night again. It was getting worse, you see. At first, it only happened if I took a bit of time off from the writing, got up late, or decided to take an afternoon off. It would stop as soon as I sat down at the word processor. Then I found I couldn't even take time off for a cup of coffee. Whenever I wasn't actually sitting there, she started. Then she found a way into my sleep. Well, I'd done a bit of work that morning, more to keep her quiet than anything else. Then I went off to see the psychotherapist, left the child crying in there. There was no sound when I got back here. She seemed to have given up. Then I saw what she'd done while I was out. That was the first time. She does it a lot now, most nights while I'm asleep. Well, this morning, I decided I'd had enough. I was sick of it. I thought I'd let her cry, give her something to cry about. I stayed in bed all the morning with the radio on loud, went out for a walk this afternoon, didn't do a stroke of work. My God, you should have heard her. Then, this evening, I couldn't stand any more. I started shouting at her, shut up, shut up, shut up! I thought I was going mad. I had to get out. That's when I decided to go up and ask your advice.
What has she done on the word processor?
See for yourself. That's my stuff, you see. That's as far as I got last night. She starts there. Read it.
Help me. Let me out. Let me go. Wrong like this. Wrong inside. Be what I am. Let me go. Don't...
I see she's added a bit since I left. Oh, God. She started again. I think I might kill myself if it goes on. That's what frightens me. Do you think that's what she wants?
Look, can I make a suggestion? Why don't we go to the pub round the corner and you can tell me all about it? You won't hear anything there, will you?
You've got better things to do than have me taking up your time. You want to be back in your nice flat listening to music, waiting for Paul.
Come on, let's have a quick drink and a chat. Cheers.
Cheers.
All right?
Oh, yes. She's outside.
What?
In the street. It's all right. It's not like being in the room with her. I can pretend it's some other child waiting for her father to come out, perhaps. That man leaving now, maybe. Yes, she's moving off now, getting fainter. But she could be back at any time, back here with us, under the table, perhaps, or standing just at my shoulder, as she does sometimes. You don't believe a word I say, do you?
You say this doesn't happen when you're writing.
When I'm sitting there, yes, and it's quiet.
What is it you're writing? I ask what you're writing.
Oh, a novel.
And what's it about?
It's about a child.
Ah.
Go on, say it.
The same child?
No.
Well, how do you know?
Mine is a boy.
Oh.
Spoils your theory, doesn't it?
I really don't know much about this kind of thing.
What kind of thing? Hearing voices, that kind of thing?
Well, yes, I don't even know what it's called.
Finding things written on your word processor, that kind of thing.
I suppose it has occurred to you.
Can I do it myself? I'm not stupid. When I'm asleep, I get up in the middle of the night and sleepwalk and feed it a bit of nonsense with no punctuation and toddle back to bed again, and in the morning, shock horror! Who's been sitting in my chair? That kind of thing? Of course it occurred to me. It's the only rational explanation, isn't it? And we're rational people in a rational world.
Well, what did your therapist have to say about it? I mean, the stuff on the word
processor. I went back, did you?
Why not?
I told you. It happened while I was out, while I was seeing her.
You think it did.
Tell me, I'm sorry, I don't know your name.
Ian.
Ian and Paul, I remember now. That nosy lady downstairs told me, that busybody. Ian and Paul, such a nice, quiet couple, she said. Tell me, Ian, when do you stop believing your own body? Stop believing what you see and hear and know. I hear a child crying, or think I do. She's at it again now, by the way, the other end of the bar, getting louder now, coming closer, as if she'd lost me, but... She sees me now. She's running towards me. She's here now. Her arms could be round my neck, crying into my ear. Help me. Let me go. She's gone again. But I didn't really hear. She wasn't really there. I came back from the therapist, poured myself a scotch, went through a sequence of everyday movements, but somewhere inside that sequence, I sat all unknowing and put nonsense on my word processor. There it is on the screen for proof. Let me go, let me out, I can't be this. Help me.
I can see it must be disturbing.
And can you see the corollary to that? That if there's a me doing things I know nothing about, there must be another I in charge of that other me. Perhaps he's the real one, eh? Perhaps he'd like to go to a therapist and get rid of me. Perhaps he's there now, and she's proving I don't exist.
Oh, come on.
Oh, metaphysics, I'm sorry. We don't want any of that, do we? We're rational people, aren't we?
Let me get this straight. Do you actually, seriously believe that someone or something, not you, is leaving messages on your word processor?
How mad can you get, eh?
You do. And that there's a real little girl somewhere
persecuting you.
And my body believes it, yes. I mean, my eyes and ears believe it. How can they not? My mind doesn't believe it. Of course not. I'm not quite mad.
Ah, so you know in your mind that it's imaginary.
I didn't say that.
Oh, look, I'm sorry. I don't understand you. Either you're suffering from certain delusions or some supernatural entity is getting at you. It has to be one or the other, doesn't it? So which do you think it is?
Oh, I wish she'd go away. I can almost feel her arms around my neck. She's past crying now. Just breathing the words into my ear. Help me. Help me. Help me. You say it has to be one or the other. I don't agree, you see.
But surely...
Please listen to me. Both! On the one hand, a delusion. Of course there's not a real voice. Of course I put that stuff on my word processor. On the other hand, someone making me do it. Making me have these delusions. Impelling me. Do you see?
What? Yes. Yes, all right, all right. So why not go back to this therapist and get her to put you in a position where you can't be impelled anymore by this real, imaginary person?
Yeah, you're humouring me just like she did.
Well, the therapist, I don't think she'd have done a thing
you
like that.
You weren't there, were you? You think I imagined that as well? It wouldn't do any good going back. She can't help me. I'm the one who's got to do it. I've got to help her.
Who? The child?
You don't know how pitiful she can be. How she can wrench at your heartstrings, as they say. That's why I get so angry at her sometimes, because she fills me with such pity. I think of all the other children crying. This is the only one I hear, but all over the world, if we had the ears for it, there are children crying. They started when mankind began, and they'll go on till we're wiped off the face of the earth. But can you imagine having ears that could hear all that crying? Well, you're wanting to get back.
No, no, there's no...
Yeah, your flatmate will be back, Paul. Paul, he'll be back, won't he?
Well, he may be.
He'll be wondering where you are. Will he get himself something to eat? Does he cook?
I've left him something, but yes, he does cook. He cooks quite well.
And you?
Yes, I cook too.
Oh, you take it in turns?
More or less, yes. We cook together.
You cook together?
Well, sometimes. Look, you must come up for a meal sometime.
Who'll cook?
Well, I will, I expect.
You're the girl-maker.
Well, in a manner of speaking.
I can't cook. It goes wrong. I'm the wrong kind of person. Even if I follow the recipe, something happens. I do eggs and things out of packets. You know, you'd sneer at my food.
Well, look, actually, I think perhaps I should be getting back.
Back to your nice flat, yes, of course.
Look, as I say, I don't know anything about it, but it's obviously something to do with the novel you're writing.
Oh, yes, oh, yes.
Unconscious doubt about what you're doing, which is, well, expressing itself in this strange way. So I wonder, you're writing about a boy. Why don't you change him into a girl? Maybe that's your problem.
Change him?
Well, why not?
I can't do that.
Well, why not?
Because it's me. I told you.
No, you didn't. Well, it's autobiographical.
No, not autobiographical. I mean, I'm remembering myself as I was. Trying to, it's very difficult. And using myself as I was, as the character in the story, do you see? As if I'd had a different life.
So, it's an imaginary
story? Well, of course it is. It's a novel.
Does he cry?
No, no, I never cried.
So, he's a happy lad. Are you sorry for him?
Oh, she's at it again. I shall have to get back soon. But there's something I can't get right, you see. Something missing. That's why the novel's going on and on. Why I can't finish it. I wish to God I could. In fact, I wish to God I'd never started.
Well, can't you take time off from it? Do something else. Take a holiday.
I can't do that. She wouldn't let me. I shouldn't have wasted your time. There's no way you can help. Let's go.
Outside the door of his flat, he paused with the key in his hand, as if listening. Then he turned those strange dead eyes on me, a twisted smile on his face. Is she there?
Of course. I suppose I ought to thank you for putting up with my ravings. I dare say you think they're ravings.
Well, I really think you ought to get some help. Go back to this therapist. You can't go on like this, can you?
No. No, you're right. I can't go on like this.
And, why don't you give me a ring if you're feeling desperate? There. That's my number. Okay.
Yes. Yes, thanks. I'll try not to bother you. It's just that I've got no one else, you see. I'll probably sleep. I'm pretty exhausted. I'll have a scotch and take a few sleeping pills. That should do the trick.
Oh, be careful.
I shan't kill myself, don't worry. I wouldn't give the bitch that satisfaction. Oh, by the way, about the music.
Music?
I find if I put some music on very loud, it sometimes shuts her up for a while. I hope I haven't been disturbing
her. Well, we have heard it.
Of course, if you object...
No, don't worry about it.
Well, I won't keep you. We've both got people waiting for us, haven't we?
You mean we're living over a nutcase?
I don't know.
What do you mean, you don't know? I mean, you don't really think this
no,
girl...
No, of course not.
Yeah.
He's obviously odd. You only have to meet him. But it sounds to me as if there's some kind of neurological disturbance as well. It can happen to perfectly sane people. I've read about it. You suddenly find you're tuned into something from your childhood, as if an old tape recording's been switched on in your head. Only with him, it's a girl. And he was an only child. And he says he never cried.
All kids cry. I suppose you didn't mention the music. Just listen to it.
He did. He said it helped sometimes, so I told him not to worry.
Oh, delightful. So I stuck with it. Did he show you any of this novel he says he's writing?
Nope.
Has he been published at all?
I didn't like to ask. Probably not.
What a life. Living on his own with no friends, writing unpublishable novels.
Well, he might be a genius for all we know.
Oh, well, yes, of course. We might have a Dostoevsky downstairs. Then again, we might not.
Anyway, I'll look in on him in the morning.
What the hell for?
Well, to make sure he's going to get some help for himself. He needs it.
Why get yourself involved with him? You know how it is with that kind of misfit. You show a bit of sympathy, and before you know it, he's attached himself to you. He'll be up here, borrowing cups of sugar and hanging about, expecting us to be sympathetic. Did he say you had a kind face? Well, he'll get no sympathy from me.
Well, he can't help being unlikable. It's not his fault.
Rubbish.
Of course it's not. Look, no one's unlikable on purpose. Why should they be? It's rough luck on him. You're going to start rationing sympathy just because you don't agree with him.
Look, perhaps I'll feel a bit more Christian towards him when he turns that music down. Well, thank God for that. He must be psychic, too.
No. She's gone.
You're talking as if you think she's real. And now you're going to spend the whole evening worrying about him. He's made sure of that, hasn't he? Well, worry all you like. He'll love that. He knows a soft-hearted sucker when he sees one. Go down and hold his hand, why don't you?
I felt it coming, but I couldn't stop it. One of our periodic rows that seemed to come out of nowhere. We shouted vile, hurtful things at each other till we were both exhausted. In bed later, trying to sleep, I wished him dead. That nutcase downstairs who'd poisoned my evening. Wished he'd taken an overdose of his pills and his scotch and got out of my life. Then I woke from a confused dream of crying, voices, bangs and crashes, to find it was still going on.
Paul, wake up.
Huh?
Wake up, Paul.
Get out. Leave me alone.
Get up.
My God, it's 3 a.m.
For God's sake, get up. Something's happened. I've got the phone number. Hasn't changed since the Morrises were there.
Oh.
Come on, come on, come on.
Hello? Hello? Guy? Guy? Are you there?
It's all right. I've let her out.
You've what? What have you done?
I've... what she wanted. Know what she wanted. Let her out, only... she's... now she's... come in. She's... in!
Oh, my God.
What is it? What's happening?
Listen.
I held the phone to Paul's ear so that he could hear. A child
crying bitterly, pitifully. A child, yet not a child. An actor playing the part of a child crying. Or an adult crying in an imaginary childhood.
The bastard!
What?
Oh, don't you see? He's having us on. Give that to me. Hello? Hello? Look, what the hell are you playing at? Ian, I don't like this.
Well, what would you have done? Treated it as a bad joke and gone back to bed? We listened once more and then went downstairs. You could hear it faintly through his door. We rang the bell, hammered on the door, to no effect. The crying went on, though fainter now, little whines and whimpers like a child exhausted by crying. Then we called the police. He was sprawled across the glass and blood-covered desk, one hand still holding the telephone, the other fist a red mess through the shattered screen of the word processor. He raised his head slightly and looked at me piteously. I crouched to him and put a hand against his cheek. He smiled slowly.
We're all right now.
What?
Wasn't outside at all, you see. Was inside. In me. Was me. Part of me. Only I didn't know. That's why she cried. I cried. We're all right now. I'm all right now.
He smiled again and lifted his bloody hand from the machine as if to touch me. The bleeding had almost stopped. Then he closed his eyes and let his head fall. There was a great pile of paper on his desk, the famous unfinished novel. When they'd taken him away, I looked through it briefly. The writing was strangely empty, hard, belligerent, opinionated, and empty. It could have been written by a computer.
Our minds are, of course, the most sophisticated computers of all, but sometimes they contain a virus that affects the pattern of our lives. Unknowingly, what we call our personalities are only partly programmed, only half-dressed. When I look into a mirror, it's possible I don't see all of me. There may be another part locked away in dreams and half-forgotten wishes. It's the same for many of us. Sometimes it's good that we recognize a virus, free that subconscious, and sometimes not. But if we don't, it can always be there to haunt us, crying to be free. Nigel Anthony played Guy, Kim Wall, Ian, and Ken Cumberledge, Paul. And the child's voice was Cara Kelly. The play was written by James Saunders and directed by Jerry Jones. My name is Edward de Souza, your man in black. And next week, we come to our final tale. The truly horrifying story of The Judge's House.